So the next issue is has to do with a draft flood reduction ordinance, and there's a red line version of this that was posted on the web, and I hope some people actually went and looked at that. This is building on a recommendation from DENREC that has been vetted with FEMA and approved by FEMA. And the notion is that if the town voids Chapter 101 of the town's code, which is floodplain management, and adopts the DENREC's recommended flood damage reduction ordinance, that this will be approved by FEMA. Now, the background story for this has to do with the fact that if you have a property in a flood zone, you are either self-insured or you purchase flood insurance through the National Flood Insurance Program, which is run by FEMA, managed in the state of Delaware by DENREC. And so there is a benefit to the town. Well, there's benefits to, if the town, so DENREC also, I'm sorry, FEMA also is in charge of flood risk insurance maps. Flood insurance risk maps, I'm sorry. Flood insurance rate maps. These are called FIRMs, the flood insurance rate maps, that designate different flood zones, and depending on what flood zone you are in, your flood insurance rates depend on your location. We are getting a new firm. Flood zones are going to be changed. That's probably effective March 2nd, I think, 2015. If Dune Beach does not have a flood damage reduction floodplain management ordinance approved that is acceptable to FEMA, no one in Dune Beach will be able to purchase flood insurance. And so it's important that we have, your flood insurance, everybody's flood insurance would be canceled as of that date if
you couldn't get a subsidized flood insurance through the flood. You'd have to go out to Lloyd's of
London. You'd have to go to Lloyd's of London or something and pay, $100,000 to insure your house. And so it's important that we get something that is acceptable to FEMA. And so Mike Harmer spent time looking at our code and the DENREC recommendations and trying to see what needs to be done to incorporate things that are particular to the town relative to the town-specific issues to make sure that they're incorporated in the DENREC recommendation.
Is that height, like that thing that's happening on Main Street?
I'm sorry?
Does that have to do with the height, how high you build it to be out of the flood?
Amongst other things. I don't know how since Marty's not here, since we don't have a quorum, there's really not a lot we can discuss about this, but I'd like to hear, I know some people came specifically for this, and if there's input from those people, I'd like to get that.
I'm just curious because of the story of the house on Reed Street, where the fellow went to raise his house, so it wouldn't flood, and the town approved it, so is that what we have to make sure we have clear so that we can get
That's one of the many aspects.
What are the other aspects?
Well, go ahead, Dave. Well, in this code, there's a whole list of things that the new code will expand the submittal requirements and things like that.
Right.
So, to tell Bill Mears in the town, you know, people would have to tell Bill Mears in the town that they're in compliance with the new FEMA desires, so you can get the insurance.
So we're trying.
And the less that we regulate, the less we regulate, the higher your insurance, or the less we do as a town, the higher your. First of all, if they're going to give us insurance, which they probably will based on what we're doing, but you'll be paying more flood insurance.
Right. So we have to do our code to meet what they want us to do.
We can. They're not making us, but we should. Because otherwise you're not going
to
get flood insurance.
I'm trying to understand. We're trying to do that.
We are trying to do that. And the things that are on this list here, David, there's three bullets that you had. You know, increasing the freeboard, and what circumstances should we do the 35 feet. I don't know if we're going to continue to discuss that without a quorum or not. But, for example, if you allow me to talk about one in your handout here, just briefly, you know, and I don't know how long we're going to discuss this, but there's a little bar chart in this handout, if any of you were lucky enough to get one of the copies here. But the town right now has a requirement for 1 foot of freeboard. And that what that means is you require, like, the house bottom flood, the baseline elevation, there's a proper term for that, Mike.
Base elevation to
be 1 foot above what FEMA wants it, all right? And we've been talking about making it 18 inches and 2 feet, and I was supporting less regulation until I saw this chart. And now I'm going to start leaning towards 4 feet of freeboard, and then we'll have a discussion. It's a democratic process. We're not going to make that decision to that. But if you go, according to FEMA and their charts, if you go with 4 feet of freeboard, you're saving 66% on the savings. If we do what we were thinking of doing earlier, we've been talking about, and that's to leave it at a foot or so, if you just put it at FEMA, you get 0% discount. So your premium, if we leave it just at the elevation they want to see it, your premium is going to be 66% more, so you know, than it should be. Now, keep in mind, right now there's a big subsidy. You know, you might be paying $2,000 a year, or $3,000, or $5,000. That's going. The number you're going to be paying is soon going to be really what it's worth. So, like $20,000. It's not going to be like a little 5% increase. And so 66% of $20,000 is like less than $10,000 instead of $20,000. So those are the kind of things that are happening here. Big operational dollar numbers that, to me, limiting operating dollars is very important. You spend a little bit more on capital to get that 4 feet or 2 feet or wherever we agree to as a town. And I don't know if others have other opinions. That's the way I'm seeing it now. 4 feet, you're looking at 66%.
So I just want to...
Go ahead, Mark.
But the other point is unintended consequences.
Absolutely.
You get that 6%.
Yeah.
You four freeboard fee,
Absolutely.
And you end up with something over 35 feet that you have to.
That's what's publishing the agenda, what we need to talk about. We need to figure out as a town, you know, what is our tolerance for that. And keep in mind, in the North End, you're unaffected. The FEMA doesn't apply to you, all right? But most of the North End.
I agree, but the fact is, the majority of the town is affected by it. And the fact is, if you want to stick to 35 feet, you're going to have to limit how many freeboard feet that you allow.
All right, so Mike does this for a living, basically, and he's passing out something like without freeboard and with freeboard. And this is a very interesting thing. Can I? You want to talk about it? Because you just passed it out.
I can.
Take over for me. So I don't mislead.
This is regarding freeboard. So everybody understands what freeboard is. In order to receive subsidized flood insurance, the town has to agree to live by FEMA's regulations. And they have a whole book full of regulations of what you have to do. In addition, and what their basic regulation is saying that in different zones, we've established how high a 100-year flood's going to come to. Whether you believe it or not, that's what they said. And our building code, since we are getting subsidized insurance, we're telling everybody, any new construction or remodeling to a point, you have to elevate your house to that height. In addition to that, town is saying what we're applying is called freeboard, just like on the side of the code. you also have to build that much higher. Right now, the town street board is 1 foot. So if FEMA says you got to build here, the town is saying you got to build 1 foot higher for, to get your building permit.
One foot.
So what part of the thing we're debating is, do we want to stay at 1 foot, foot and a half, 2 foot, or 3 foot? And what I've obtained, I had an agency come to my office and put on a seminar for us to understand a little more about things. But in particular, it was about putting a smart fence in the building and securing the building from flooding. And one of the things I asked that you get for me was this notification. Basically, what it shows you is the differences in the what's called the V zone, which is along the ocean, and the A zones, which were back. If you have a 1 foot freeboard, a 2 foot freeboard, or a 3 foot freeboard, and it tells you over an annual savings for a 1 foot freeboard, this is the homeowner's savings and his insurance. If you have a 1 foot freeboard, a 2 foot freeboard, or a 3 foot freeboard. If you're in a V zone, which is all along the ocean, if you have a 1 foot freeboard, over a 30 year mortgage, you're saving $40,000. If you have a 2 foot freeboard, if you put one more foot on, over a 30 year mortgage, you're saving close to $82,000. If you put a 3 foot freeboard on the V zone, over a 30 year mortgage, you're saving $102,000 in insurance. In the A zones, which most of the town is in, right now we have a 1 foot freeboard. The annual savings on a 30 year mortgage is over the for a 30-year mortgage is $15,000. If we go up to a 2-foot freeboard, over a 30-year mortgage, you're going to be saving $20,000. And a 3-foot freeboard, you're going to be saving $22,000. So basically what this means is that the higher you raise the freeboard, the higher you raise your house, even selectively, say the town says you only need a foot, you want to go up 2 or 3 feet, over a certain amount of years, you're saving tens of thousands of dollars. So that's something for us
to I just want to clarify for folks there are two issues. One is, when the town sets their freeboard, you get a CRS community rate of discount. And that's a percentage discount for every policy in the town as a whole because of the town standards. Freeboard is one of the big things that affects that. The second thing where people are talking about these savings, that's based on an individual property owner's decision of where they build. So like today we have 1 foot of freeboard, I think. Correct, Dave?
Correct.
So if you were building a new house, you're always free to say, I want to build 4 feet over that. And as an individual, you're electing to make that decision. You can get those discounts.
Right.
The issue is whether the towns get a mandate that people do that. And I just want to be clear that without the town changing the law, people can still save the money by building higher above the flood zone on a voluntary basis.
But that hurts everybody's policy.
No.
Well, no.
I mean, so there are two things that come into play about the town mandating a change in the freeboard. The first thing is if we have buildings that encroach in required yards, the town doesn't let them raise their elevate their buildings at some arbitrary height because that's increasing their encroachment, and that's something that the zoning code does not permit them to do. However, by the town, the town has moved to the point where, as Fran said, the town has removed the prohibition and will allow such a property, that a residential structure in a flood zone that encroaches in the yards, to elevate to the FEMA standard plus the town's freeboard. So it can go that high and no further. So if the town increases the freeboard, they could elevate their house and be eligible for the reduced flood insurance. The second thing, and more important in my mind, is if the town increases its mandated freeboard from a foot to 2 feet, the town is in a very good position to get an additional town-wide 5% discount for all purchasers of flood insurance through the National Flood Insurance Program.
Which helps everybody else.
Which helps everybody in the town. Everybody who buys flood insurance right now gets a 10% discount on the on what they would pay if the town were not participating in this community rating system. If the town goes to a 2-foot freeboard, I suspect that we will be on, it will be easy for us to garner, for the town to have garnered another 5% discount. So people will get a 15% discount.
And David also is talking about getting the town discounts. There are other ways that we can lower our discounts.
Absolutely. But I mean, there's, we're 250 points away from the next reduction.
Okay.
And reducing the, increasing the freeboard from 1 foot to 18 inches will get us halfway there.
One of them is lowering the substantial improvement threshold.
And we've talked about doing that as well.
And about that,
you know, there are a number of other things that we can do to move along, some of which are administrative and some of which are embedded in the code.
You know,
we'll talk about it.
David and I talked about, I have access to a company that manufactures these things called smart vents. And what they are is they're used to floodproof residential commercial buildings. You basically have to have some type of an engineered vent now if you're building in a flood zone. And they have a lot of information they put on seminars. And I think it's a good idea maybe. You think about having a public hearing where we have these things, like the smart vent presentation, this information about freeboards, where it's more like a public information, like, okay, if you own a house, and if you do this and that, if you put a smart vent in, or if you decide to raise your house another foot or two, you're going to save tens and tens of thousands of dollars over a period of time. Just an informational thing.
I think people do need to be informed and educated on it, because I don't think all the property owners and condominium owners really do understand the depth of this bargain with FEMA and the town can have an effect for everyone. Yeah. I didn't even understand that myself.
But you still have to raise your house.
There's things we have to do as a minimum in our law to comply with FEMA.
Right, but the people.
But there's also things on top of that you can do to even benefit yourself more that the average person won't know.
But if you agree to this ordinance with them, people get a discount off across the board on their insurance, right?
Yes.
Without raising their house, it at least gives us the beginning of another. I think people need to know all about that, don't you? Because I don't think people realize how much their flood insurance really actually is going to become more real without these subsidies.
Yeah.
They might think twice about building on
the ocean. What the average person doesn't know and realize is how much they can reduce their insurance by doing things that are reasonably cheap.
Yes.
Okay.
What does it cost to raise a house?
What does it cost?
It depends on what your house is.
But I mean, right? I mean, I was just, you know, some of them, they say $15,000 over 30 years. That's $500 a year. But it would cost you at least $10,000.
Well, this is mainly with new construction.
So someone who has a home is probably not going to raise a house.
Do we know what the building permit was for
the rural house?
I think he was in the neighborhood of $30,000.
You know, $30,000 for a small house, $100,000 for a
big bucks.
Right, and it's basically the same price to elevate 1 foot or portage.
But didn't he go over the 35?
And that's a different issue. That's a different issue.
What happens when you go over the
35? Well, that has nothing to do with it. Any other input into this?
The only thing I would remind you again, and I know you guys know, a lot of the people in the audience might understand, there's now a big controversy over the one house that did or didn't get raised properly. And, you know, the neighbors are now saying that I built my house understanding that I had a line of sight to this. You know, even if they built the highest house they could build, you know, I could still see X, Y, and Z. But if the town allowed them to go to here, or if they're forced to go to here, then my line of sight is gone. Therefore, my property value is down. So I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying that's what's happening. So there's all sorts of unintended consequences.
Right. And if Marty were here, Marty would respond that it's in the town's interest that people have the ability to remain in their houses and to continue occupying their houses and maintain their houses. And you know, zoning is always an interplay between an individual's rights, and you know, what's good for the individual versus what's good for the community. And we're I think trying to move in a direction where we both benefit the individual and benefit the community.
Thanks for your writing.
Any other input, public input on this? So the